Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And it's a good day. It's July 16th, a gorgeous day to get out to play. Okay, it's a little rainy, but hey, practice your rain game. Play 3, 7, 9, 18 holes, whatever works for you. Poipu Bay has the Ocean 9. You play the back 9 after a warm-up on the range. They escort you to the ocean in your cart, of course. They'll lead you along, and for $99, you get to play the Ocean 9, have plenty of time to spend with family and friends, go out to brunch right after you've played 9 holes. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Adam Scott. He's celebrating his birthday, and of course, he is playing in the Open at Royal Troon. Today, we're going to talk to Bob Bubka, correspondent for Talk Sport and host of the Grill Room Golf Show on Talk Sport, and tune in. John Huggan will be checking in, European correspondent for Golf World magazine. Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post, she's at the Open too, just like John and Bob. Alex Maselli, publisher of Golf Week magazine and, of course, senior writer, he's also at the Open. And Roger McStavrick, author of St. Andrews in the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris, a beautiful collection, a beautiful work. We're going to be talking about that book and so much more. But first, we need to thank the people who make this show possible. And we're introducing our new sponsor, Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Yes, if they trust Rainer Doors, I think that says a lot. Providing lasting security and safety for your business. That's Rainer Doors. The signature steak and seafood restaurant, beautiful, juicy steak. Love the furikake ahi. Excellent wines, either by the glass or, of course, by the bottle. And the signature vodka cocktail. You can finish with the new Fuji apple pie. They've got excellent service at the signature steak and seafood restaurant. Beautiful view from the 36th floor at the Ala Moana Hotel and, of course, valet parking. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified Golf Channel lead coach, you name it, featured on Morning Drive and Golf Channel Academy Live. You can take a lesson with Claude Brousseau at Ko'olina.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, a store, or townhouse, customer single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host to the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Jam. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futura Stone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futura Stone. Only the best. And by Montgomery Power Sports, 550 North Nimitz Highway, next to Liliha Bakery, featuring Indian, Victory, Suzuki, and Husqvarna motorcycles, Polaris ATVs, and GEM electric vehicles. Montgomery Power Sports, where first responder discounts never end. Montgomery Power Sports, where the rubber hits the road.
And right next door is Liliha Bakery, my favorite, always perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Liliha Bakery, at the counter or at a table, I always feel at home with friends and great food and a delight from the bakery, because as you leave, of course, you're walking through it. It's like old times at Liliha Bakery. Fantastic. I hope you can tune in to the Open right now. The final pairing is on, and it is Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson. They're both leading. They're both 12 under, or they're both on the 12th hole, that is. Mickelson is still 11 under. He got into trouble on his last drive, went way off the course. It took a big bounce right into the gorse. He played it safe, got back into the fairway on the green, and got into the hole. I believe it was a par. I was opening the show as that was happening. Henrik Stenson, 10 under. For a while this morning, he was leading Phil Mickelson. Of course, Phil had that fantastic 63. Awesome. It could have been a 62. Did you see that? Oh, it just went around the cup and rolled back out. Amazing. Followed it, though, with a 69. Phil Mickelson is 46 years old, and the funniest thing I want to talk to Bob Bupka about is the binder clips that he used to keep his hat on tight. He said, hey, it looks ugly, I know, but it works. And that's the bottom line, you know? I mean, who cares? They're talking about, God, you know, Phil, what are you doing using those ugly old clips to keep your hat on? He wanted to keep his hat on in the wind, and the weather was ugly yesterday. I don't know if you caught any of it. Maybe you saw some of the highlights, but it was raining. It was windy. The morning nine has been great. If you played in the morning, you were in great shape. And the afternoon, folks, boy, you really took gas in the afternoon. It was playing just like it should. Lynx golf, weather conditions, and Bob Bupka is joining us now. He is at the Open. The Royal Troon is where we're at. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, thanks for having me, Danielle. I wish I was in Hawaii, because we did have a summer, a nice Scottish summer, but that was 2 days ago, and that came and went rather quickly. I get a kick out of, I always try and describe, you know, what the weather's like in Scotland. And the other night, I was at a reception, and this gentleman was really enjoying himself, and he walked out at the same time I walked out. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and it's still light outside. And he looked at me, and he said, what kind of country is this? He says, it rains all day, and the sun shines all night.
Can't get a good night's sleep. It's too bright out there.
amazing.
I was just talking about Phil Mickelson. Sorry, Bob. I was just talking about Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson, and it's like watching match play. The two leaders out front on number 12. Phil's still one shot ahead. They're like, you know, I don't. It's a marvelous, marvelous third round at the Open at the Royal Troon. And those binder clips that Phil Mickelson was using to keep his hat on tight, does he still have those on?
No, he's taking those off. But I'll say this much. If you remember back, and I'm sure you got a lot of great listeners that are fond of golf history, back in 1977, just a few miles up the road from where we're at here at Royal Troon, at Turnberry, the final round was a battle between Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus. They often refer to it as the duel in the sun. Well, I don't know how much sun we're going to see here, but Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson putting on quite a show. And the fact that Phil Mickelson's only made two bogeys this week is simply amazing with how difficult this golf course is, with the weather that he's had to play in. Only two drop shots, Danielle. That's pretty remarkable stuff.
It is. And watching when he talked about missing that putt that looked like it was going to go dead in, just rolled around the cup and went back out. He could have shot a 62. Didn't he say during the news conference afterward that someone put a pebble on the green after he hit the putt?
I don't know about that, but I know this much. It's the first time I've ever heard a golfer who just walked off the golf course shooting a 63, say, man, I feel like crying.
Yes.
he knew, Danielle, what history that was. I mean, nobody's ever shot 62 in a major. And here he is, 46 years old, on the threshold of doing something that's never been done before. And as you accurately said, that putt looked like it was in, and then all of a sudden it pops out of the back of the cup, and Phil was just looking up to the sky in disbelief. But, you know, he's kind of put all that behind him. I mean, he came out yesterday and shot a 69 after shooting that 63. That's pretty remarkable stuff. And, you know, Henrik Stenson, a lot of pressure on him. No Scandinavian has ever won a major in golf. No Scandinavian. And right now, you know, Henrik Stenson's won a lot. He's won the FedEx Cup. He's won the race to Dubai.
Yeah.
But he's never won a major. And he's trying desperately to get the job done this week here at Royal Troon.
Let's talk a little bit about the guy that's creeping up the leaderboard. We know Bill Haas, and it's great to see him there. But how about this Andrew Johnston, the fellow with the shaggy beard, if you're seeing his nickname is Beef, maybe for the ample belly he carries?
Well, yeah, they actually call him Beef or Beefy. He's definitely quite a character. I talked to him at Oakmont at the U.S. Open out on the range, and at that point he was not in this open field, and he told me he didn't know whether he was going to get in or not get in. And then I said, Beefy, what about if you win the U.S. Open? He said, well, then I'm definitely not going to play because I'll be drunk for a month.
Is he a Scot or is he English?
No, he's English, but he's the closest thing we have competing that looks almost like old Tom Morris looked way back in 1860 when he hit the first shot. As a matter of fact, we're staying, this is a funny one, too, we're staying at a hotel, lovely hotel, in Prestwick. It's 50 yards away from the first tee at the Prestwick Golf Course where old Tom Morris hit his first shot.
Wow.
156 years ago. And since then, now it's right next to the Prestwick Airport. And I had two guys from Australia staying in my hotel that went and played Prestwick yesterday. And I asked them last night, what'd you think of the golf course? And they said, pretty good golf course, but they couldn't figure out why those people wanted to build a golf course next to the airport. I said, excuse me, this was built in 1860. There was very little use of an airport back in 1860.
No kidding. Hey, has your producer, Janice Self, gone out to play golf at all?
No, but she's played many a tournament at Royal Troon. She likes this golf course. She's been complaining all week. She remembers the last time she played in a tournament here, which was about 25 years ago. She lost her contact lens, and she said, maybe after play tonight, we can go look for that contact lens.
Speaking of Royal Troon, it's ridiculously green, isn't it? I mean, I'm looking up right now watching Phil Mickelson about to putt, and I'm thinking, this looks like a PGA Tour green. It's so green.
Well, let me tell you how far Hawaii is. Because Phil Mickelson just made that putt. You'll be finding that out in about 5 seconds. It takes a while for the information to go from Royal Troon all the way to Hawaii.
All righty then. Okay. Well,
I'm going to use that when they say, how far is Hawaii from Scotland? I'll say, well, if you make a putt in Scotland, they'll know about it 10 seconds later in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, I'm watching NBC right now. It's on NBC Live, and so I figured they were live, but you never know, right? I mean, what is live? Sergio Garcia, he's, you know, the guy who's never won a major. For a while, he was tied for fifth. He seems to have dropped down a bit. He was looking really good on a couple of holes. He was birdie, and then difficulty. Have you talked to Sergio?
It's just not his week. I don't want to ruin anybody watching this because they love this sport, but this is rapidly becoming a two-man contest. Mm-hmm. I mean, spreading themselves from the field. I mean, Phil Mickelson is six shots clear, third place. I mean, that's a wide margin, only shots in front. But wait and see. When you think that Phil, his putter is saving him when he hits bad shots, he's 46 years old. By the way, that's the same age as old Tom Morris was when he won the first Open. So maybe there's some karma going on here, Danielle.
It's perfect. Keegan Bradley is playing well. But I was looking at Steve Stricker. Steve Stricker is in the Open. How often has he played this year? Very rarely do we see Steve out.
Yeah, he hasn't really played a lot. He's basically a part-time player. But he's certainly showing that he has a wealth of talent. And one of the real nice guys, as you well know, Danielle, 3-under on his round today, opened up with a 67 in day one, ran into actually one hole yesterday. He played the first 14 holes in horrific weather, with the rain pouring down, with the wind blowing, and he never made a bogey. Then he comes to 15, and Royal Troon will just jump up and grab you if you get out of position. He made a quadruple 8 on that hole, went 4 over on that hole, and still only shot 75. So he's going to have a nice finish. He he's not going to win. I mean, nobody's going to catch those top two. And certainly it looks like nobody's going to catch Phil Mickelson. He's got five majors already. He wants number six. He already has an open championship. He wants the second one. There's nothing you can say that has already been said about the play of Phil Mickelson. He's just incredible. When they teed off today, I said, this is going to be an interesting battle. It's going to be between the magician, Phil Mickelson, and the technician in Henrik Stenson. Stenson plays a very, surgical type game, and Phil is using magic all over the place. He hit it in the gorse bush on the last hole, still ended up making par. Just a remarkable thing we're witnessing. Almost as remarkable as trying to get in and out of the bathtub that they provide in the hotel. They have a rather high wall, and every day I don't know if I'm going to make it to the golf course because I struggle to get out of that tub.
Well, I was talking with Rick this morning about whether or not you and Janice were staying in one of those converted container hotels that they can mobily transport to some of the open sites. I think you stayed at one in the past, and I was aghast listening to you.
Right.
So what is the name of the hotel you're at now?
Well, I tell you, it is a very lovely hotel called the Parkstone Hotel. It's located no more than 50 yards from the first tee of Prestwick.
Wow.
And, in fact, in 1958, believe it or not, the Queen of England had a luncheon, and I have breakfast every morning, and I have reserved the seat where the Queen sat back in 1958 because it's the only time in my life that I'm ever going to be with royalty unless I'm in Hawaii working with you.
I know you're going to be on Talk Sport. Bob Bupka, the voice of golf, he's on Talk Sport in the UK, correspondent for Talk Sport. He's the host of the Grill Room Golf Show on Talk Sport and Tune In. And it's always a pleasure having you on the show. I think your next hit is in about 2 minutes. I better let you go, Bob.
Well, I appreciate being on with you, and you keep up that good work. And one of these days, we're going to get you to come to the Open Championship. It's a golf tournament unlike any other thing that they play throughout the course of the year. It's the oldest. It's still the best. Players from 24 countries are represented here. That shows you how global the sport of golf has really gone.
We'll see you soon. Where are you off to next?
I'm going to go back to the East Coast and get ready for the PGA Championship in 2 weeks. We'll be talking to you from Baller's Roll.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Bob Bupka, voice of golf, Talk Sport, and, of course, the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn Radio. We're going to come back and talk to John Huggan. John Huggan writes, he's the European correspondent for Golf World. He wrote an article for the Golf Paper, too, a publication in the UK, about why he thought Phil Mickelson was going to win this tournament. And he wrote that a week ago. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Take the red carpet elevator, 36 stories straight to the sky, to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The Signature, Prime Steak and Seafood.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Your experts on call.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And I want to thank our new sponsor, Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business. Rainer Doors, it's a special day. It is Adam Scott's birthday. Let's give away some golf balls, some Bridgestone precepts for ladies, for men who like that touch on the green and the distance that the golf ball from Bridgestone Precept can give you. The number is 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. The phone lines are open. And now, John Huggan, golf writer, Golf World Magazine. Welcome to the show, John.
Nice to be with you.
I'm watching this, what I consider to be the best kind of open, the best kind of major, because the two leaders are really in competition with one another as they go down. I mean, it's watching Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson. Yes, Phil's in the lead by two now, but it was neck and neck. They were both 11 under. Then Henrik Stenson went to 12 under, and Phil was still 11 under. And now Phil separated himself. He's ahead by two strokes. They're both on the same hole, and it's magnificent to watch this. I imagine you're enjoying it too.
Well, very much. It's actually just gone back to one shot. Henrik Stenson's just 13-14. And Phil Mickelson's just bogeyed, so they're now tied. There you go. It's all happening.
Yeah. It doesn't get much better than this. And with the field with Bill Haas and Andrew Johnston, J.B. Holmes, Keegan Bradley, Steve Stricker, Tony Finau, It's a great field. I wish we could see Sergio Garcia move up just a little bit higher on this leaderboard. But as I mentioned before our commercial break, thanking our sponsors who make this show possible, John Huggan, golf writer for Golf World, you wrote, and I love the work that you do for the golf paper, you wrote about Phil Mickelson and why you thought he was going to win. What inspired you, and tell us why you thought he would?
Well, you're giving me way too much credit here, because every year at the Scottish Open, Phil very kindly gives me half an hour just by myself with him. So this year was no exception, and I just thought after I'd spoken to him that, well, why not? He seemed to be in good mood. He was playing well at the Scottish Open. It was kind of like 3 years before when he won at Castle Stewart. So why not a repeat performance?
Sounds good to me. You also talked about the claw grip that he's using. Is that claw grip something that people who are watching, who may be having trouble with their putter, could actually use to benefit their game?
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, our timing's not very good, because Phil just missed him about 2.5 feet on the 14th green there using the claw grip. But yes, I mean, with that exception of that one putt, I mean, he played incredibly well this weekend and putted beautifully. I think that was his first drop shot today, and I think he's only had about two or four bogeys all week. So you can't do that without bowling out very well.
Is it a difficult grip? I know as a writer for Golf Digest, you were in charge of instruction articles for 8 years. You're very familiar with this sort of thing. Is it a difficult grip to learn? Would most teachers know how to teach you something like this?
I mean, it's actually very simple. I mean, it's basically one-handed putting. In Phil's case, his right-handed barely, or his left hand's barely on the putter. It's only a guide. He's actually putting basically one-handed, and with the key being that he can extend through towards the target much more easily with basically just one hand on the club. I mean, I think it's for anybody who's having trouble with short putts, I mean, if that's the case, you're basically going to try anything. And the claw grip seems to work for not just for Phil, it's worked for, Marco Mulish here this week at the age of, I think, 59, and he's made the cut quite well, and he's using the claw grip too.
Rory McIlroy, a day after saying he wasn't going to watch golf, the Olympics, let alone play in the Olympics, that it wasn't his job to get other people into the game, and I totally understand where he's coming from, and that anyone in golf could get away easily with using banned substances because they don't do drug testing very well. He came back and said, I'm not taking this back. I don't feel badly for having said all of that. And, quote, I figured out that I can't really do, please everyone, so I may as well be true to myself. It's so refreshing listening to Rory McIlroy speak with the media. What are your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm all for that. I think, as most journalists would be, the problem long-term comes, of course, when if Rory continues to do that, he'll inevitably attract some criticism from people who don't agree with his point of view, and he may get tired of that. We'll see if he manages to stick to his new mantra, but I admire him for it. I mean, I'm kind of the same way myself. I tend to say what I think, and I wish more players would do that. We get far too much of the middle-of-the-road platitude stuff that it's no use to anybody, and I take his point completely on the growing the game thing. I mean, nobody actually gets into golf at the beginning to grow the game. I mean, as he said, you get into the golf to win and do well, and he actually does plenty to grow the game just by being himself. I mean, he's enormously attractive personality and character. I mean, kids are drawn to him. You see that every time you see him at a tournament, the kids are following him around with the autograph books. So I think Rory just continues to be himself, everything will be fine.
I agree. I think that he's tired of pretense. Let's speak what we're really doing here. If we're doing this just because we want to grow the game, sell the game to the rest, it's like, let's sell this. There's a lot of promotion going on rather than going into the Olympics because golf is a sport and ought to be played in the Olympics. We deserve to be there because we are a sport and we should be in the Olympics. It's, well, we want to go in the Olympics because we want to sell ourselves to more marketplaces on the globe. And I think that turns some people off.
Well, that's certainly the point of view of the people who are proponents of golf being in the Olympics. I certainly don't think that that's Rory's view on things. I mean, I think he's had a reluctance and a lack of enthusiasm right from day one. I bet he wishes now that he's done what Adam Scott did. Adam Scott, from right at the beginning of this whole process, said that he had no enthusiasm for playing in the Olympics. He didn't really care about the Olympics. It wasn't something that he grew up dreaming about winning. In fact, it's kind of getting in the way of the things that he did grow up dreaming to win, which is the majors. And I think Adam Scott said that right at the beginning. He took a little bit of heat early in the process, and kind of people have forgotten about him now, and come to Rory and others who have withdrawn, and I bet Rory wishes he was Adam Scott right now, to be honest.
Well, I know that I did a double take when, on the one hand, Jordan Spieth said, absolutely, you know, I absolutely love this this Olympics thing, and I would, you know, be proud. And then the next moment, you know, when it's actually push comes to shove, he's saying, I'm not going to go. That was, and the same thing happened with Patrick Reed 2 days before he had the chance to go. When, you know, Jordan said, I'm not going to participate, then it's Patrick Reed standing in front of correspondents saying, well, you know, I really need to think about this and have a chat with my family and my team and see what, you know, if we, wait a second, 2 days ago you said, if I'm called, I'm there. And he's going. But there was so much wavering just 2 days after having said that. What's your idea? Do you think golf belongs in the Olympics?
Well, personally speaking, I don't. I mean, I don't think that golf, I mean, for me, the Olympics is about running and jumping and throwing and swimming and lifting and all that stuff. I don't think golf really belongs. And, you know, to be honest, I think that this has kind of been a perfect storm of, you know, all these reasons that have come together for them, for the top players not to go. I mean, there's the infamous Zika virus, there's the security implications of going to Rio, there's the scheduling, which I think is a very underestimated part of this. I mean, the PGA Tour have very quietly done absolutely nothing to help the top players with the scheduling. I think the PGA of America, I mean, we've got the situation where the PGA of America hosting the PGA Championship the week after next, which is ludicrous, you know, 1 week separating two of the major championships. And I know that the PGA of America wanted to play the championship either late August or early September. But the PGA Tour were having none of that, you know, FedEx Cup money and all the rest of it. So the PGA Tour have got a big responsibility, I think, in the scheduling mess that they've created for the top players. And if you contrast that with the LPGA Tour, who created a 2 week gap in their schedule for the Olympics to take place, and look at the women attendance. Just about every single one of the top women players will be in Rio, a complete contrast with the men. And I think the scheduling has got a lot to do with that.
Exactly. It's very difficult what they've set up. Very nicely put. I love talking with you, John. We need to get a really clear phone line connection with you. What about Royal Troon, before I let you go? What about the Open? Do you love over the other majors, the Masters, the PGA Championship, and the U.S. Open?
Well, it's just different, isn't it? I mean, it's a different continent from the other three. I mean, we've talked before. I mean, I'm not really in favor of having three majors in one country. I don't think that if we started over tomorrow, I don't think that would be the case. But the Open Championship over here, I mean, it stands out a mile from the other three because it's just a whole different challenge. The ball is on the ground far longer than it is in America. The weather is so different, and it's just a completely different questioning to the players, and I think that's a great thing.
It is, and I've heard people say that the feeling there, it's not corporate, it's family. So you have it's closer. You even if you're outside the ropes, you feel like you're inside the ropes just because of the atmosphere and the way people come together, and it doesn't have that corporate tent feeling that some of the other majors do. The exclusivity factor, it doesn't come into play at the Open. And I say this every year, but this is my birthday week, and I would really love to be at the Open and celebrate my B-Day like Adam Scott is at the Open Championship. Thanks so much for joining us inside the clubhouse on the Golf Club radio show. It's been my pleasure. John Huggan, Golf World writer, European correspondent, and I do need to get my subscription to the Golf Paper. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Aloha. We're going to come back and get the woman's perspective. Louine Mayer is going to join us, Global Golf Post's European correspondent. She was on last week, and we'll be talking with her about who she's following. I can't imagine. Let's see. How are they doing? Okay, like Bob Bubka earlier pointed out, we get everything a little bit later. He was laughing at me, but it looks like, I don't know if this is true, but it looks like Phil Mickelson is tied again with Henrik Stenson at 11 under par through 14. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Maliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations. And breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Maliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh. And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Maliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Congratulations, Guy Shindo. You won our Bridgestone golf balls. You know, I'm feeling magnanimous today, if I could only speak English language. I want to give away some more golf balls. And the number is 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. You see, it's special today. We have two phone lines open for you to call in. So just call and win. And those golf balls, a whole box will be sent to you. That's right. Yes, that's four sleeves. We're talking now with Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post special correspondent. She's the European correspondent for Global Golf Post, and she's been traveling. She was at the Scottish Open last week, and now she's at Royal Troon for the Open, where, surprisingly, one minute I was talking about Phil Mickels having a two-stroke lead, and then Henrik Stenson is now, you know, they're both tied, 11 under on the 15th, I think. As Bob Bubka told me earlier, Louine, we don't all get it in real time, so things could have changed. Good morning, Louine.
Well, hello, Daniel. Nothing's changed at the moment. They're both 11 under, and it is, you know, it looks for all the world at the moment, anyhow, that it's just between the two of them, because you've got Bill Haas at 6 under, then you've got Johnson at 5 under, and then 4 under, 3 under, so they've got a good lead, haven't they? I mean, and they're looking very, you know, the tension is there. It's almost as if it's between the two of them on the last day. I think Stenson seems to have aged considerably since the last week in Scotland.
But he does.
The tension on their faces is just amazing. You know, if you think at the start of the week, there was Mickelson all smiles and hardly surprisingly, bearing in mind how he was scoring. But, you know, it's just so different today. The, you know, Stenson's eyes are sort of, you know, they're sort of wild. You know, it really looks as though it's tense.
Guys, we're watching a Ryder Cup preview. This is, you know, it's Stenson and Mickelson, and it's match play, and they're on the 15th. Is this the 15th? They're teeing off on the 15th now?
No, they played the 15th, and they're on to the par 5, 16th. And it's so tough for them, you know. We're getting these wonderful shots of the, you know, the grass blowing in the wind, and they're staring through this wind and wondering what on earth is happening to their shots. And it's not a particularly nice day now. yes, Mickelson's just stopped. He was looking after his ball very anxiously, but it stopped well short of the burn, as we call it in Scotland.
Yes, I watched one of his drives go into the gorse. I think it was, or it looked like it was at least, about five holes back. He recovered by taking a safe shot into the center of the green. Then he had a two-stroke lead over Henrik Stenson, and then all of a sudden, while I'm talking to one of the guests, it disappeared. And that's the way it's kind of been with them sharing the lead, or one's in the lead, the other's not. It's just really, really exciting stuff. Andrew Johnston has excited the audience, the gallery, as it were, and these young men are giving it their best. Andy Sullivan as well. Are they both Englishmen?
Yes. Well, Andy Sullivan is certainly an Englishman. Andy Johnson, is he one of ours or one of yours? I was just looking at the board, and funnily enough, somebody's saying after the first day, oh, all Americans up there. And actually, it was a chap from the RNA who turned around and reassured his companions and said, aha, but they won't be up there once the weather gets bad. Well, of course, they are up there. I think there's only about four people in the top 13 who aren't American.
Yeah, well, the flag that's next to young Andrew Johnston is, I believe, the British. It's the white with the red cross through it.
It could be. I'm not quite sure which flag we're, you know, we're
using on the leaderboard. And Tyrell Hatton has the same flag, as does...
Yes, okay, well, he is English. These bearded individuals are throwing me slightly. There's quite a few with these beards. And isn't Johnson one of the ones with the beard?
Yes, he's the one with the shaggy beard.
Yes, well, Larry's got a trimmed-down version of that.
Exactly.
And then there's more with beards. I tend to bracket them all together. I'm not good on them.
I know, that's what it throws me. I have to think of Andy as the shaggy one. Andy's the trimmed up one, I think. And is it? Wait a second. We've got two Andys.
No.
Tell me who's the shaggy one.
Well, I think Johnson's the shaggy one, and I think Lowry has got the tidier beard. But there's more beards out there.
And that's a departure from what used to be the expectation, right? That the men be all clean shaven, at least on the PGA Tour. I think this is a youth movement to just insist on being able to wear their facial hair however way they would like to.
Well, you know, Daniel, I'm not really an expert on it. I don't know what to make of it, but there's no doubt about it. You see somebody coming along with a beard and you think it's Johnson, and then you see realize it's Lowry. So it is a bit confusing.
So who are you following when you're out and considering writing your stories for Global Golf Post? Louine Mayer is European correspondent for Global Golf Post, and you can get your issue of Global Golf Post very easily. You just go to the site, enter your email address, and it comes to you every, I think it's Monday overnight, Sunday morning. It's really cool to get it in your mailbox that way, and you've got all the news from the week. What are you thinking about working on?
Well, just to tell you, first of all, we're doing an issue every day this week. You know, the Global Golf Post comes out every day during a major. I'm doing a series of notes at the moment, and I'll be commenting on, you know, Rory. He's been looking sheepish a couple of times this week. The first time he was saying, you know, he was wanting to recant slightly on everything he'd said about the Olympics. You know, I think he felt he'd gone in a bit strong with his comments. And then today, of course, he was playing the 16th and hit a bad shot, the second in two holes, and his club went over his shoulder and the head flew off. So,
yes.
And he said, you know, he took 50% of the blame, which is probably pretty reasonable of him. But the club apparently had been glued earlier in the week, and maybe the gluing process wasn't quite all it should have been.
I see. Well, yeah. It looked like it got a pretty good talking to by him. And I wasn't all that surprised for it to come apart. You know, I find Rory McIlroy's position in the media center refreshing, because at least he's telling us what he thinks. It doesn't have to be what I think or anybody else thinks. It's what he thinks, and I like that.
Oh, I like it. Thank God for that, because you don't want them too bland, you know, all coming in sort of looking the same and saying the same things. You know, just let them say what they want. But, you know, he probably hadn't had an awful lot of time. You know, he'd maybe sort of thought what he was saying about the Olympics, because there are an awful lot of people, I suppose, who really think it's great, and you don't want to discourage them.
Yeah, it's true. And a lot of people do think it's great. It's a sport. Golf is a sport.
Yeah.
Look at the condition of most of these young men and women who are playing this game. They are spending so much time keeping their physique in perfect physical condition, hydrated, the way they eat, all the things that they do to prepare to be on the golf course for not just 4 days of competition, but the practice rounds, the pro-ams. That's extremely strenuous when you think about it, how you feel after a round of golf. Imagine doing 6 rounds of golf with the practice round and the pro-am, and then, who knows, maybe another practice round, and then you go into competition for 4 days. You have to be in excellent physical condition. If you can carry some extra weight...
I'm just about to say that you're not exactly painting a picture of Monty, who I've seen eating a fine pudding this week at Morton.
No, I'm not. And I'm not painting a picture of, let's say, a couple of our bearded friends, you know, Beef is carrying a good waist, you know, but he can carry
it. Another one of them. Yeah, that's right. And the ties, too, you know, that are often, you know, prom miserat, and there are a few of these, an Akiban rat, they're all big guys. And you ask the Thais, and they say, well, the cooking in Thailand, you know, the cooking they're used to is so good. You know, it's a very hard thing to get slim over there.
What's happened with Dustin Johnson and our Jordan Spieth?
Well, I haven't come across much of Dustin Johnson. Spieth is just he's not magic this week, obviously. You know, the magic is gone. But and, you know, it'd be a miracle if he were keeping it up. I think, you know, we had one Tiger, and we, you know, suddenly start expecting somebody else to be the next Tiger, and golf just doesn't go like that at all. But
I'm glad you said that.
Really but the person who really interests me this week is Stenson, because last week up at Castle Stewart, when I was telling you all about the Dolphins and everything else, I was asking them, several of them, you know, what was it that got them going? What, you know, when did they start, what time ahead of the Open did they really start getting into the championship and thinking about it? And he said the first thing that strikes him when he's going to an Open, he almost, even before he sees them, he sees the yellow stands soaring, the scoreboards and things like that. And he says, it's just a different buzz to an Open week. And he said it's the only tournament in the year that his wife comes to as well, or, you know, probably the only one she will definitely come to. And he said she comes just for the buzz. So, you know, he really is so focused. As I say, you know, he's looking so focused. And Mickelson's looking so focused. It's quite frightening.
It's quite, well, yes. And it feels like I said earlier that it feels like a preview of the Ryder Cup. It's very exciting to watch this Open, and I'm just thrilled that we're able to see this, the two leaders actually on the same hole. I find it very frustrating when I'm watching television. It happened just recently when we were watching Fox, they kept talking about, these guys are in the lead, they're, you know, tied for the lead, and they weren't tied for the lead because one guy was on 15, the other guy was on 5. You know, and even though the score was the same, there was no way you could say tied for the lead. It was, and watching this, it's very, very special. It's a special week. And Jason Day, yes, go ahead,
yes.
Please.
Well, no, I was just going to say the point you're making is really good because that's what's making this so exciting is the fact that they are out in the same pair. You know, it wouldn't be anything like it if one were 4 matches ahead of the other. And so, it is comparing like with like. It's terrific.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jason Day, 3 wins this year, including the Players, top 10 in 8 of 13 starts, 8th at the U.S. Open, 3rd at the WGC. He tied 4th at St. Andrews. The Open doesn't really suit his game, it seems, nor does it suit Jordan Spieth's game, but yes.
No. I mean, it's so much depends on the start, doesn't it? You know, they start, they get off to. I mean, I think in an Open, they can either sort of ignite very early on and keep going, you know, like Mickelson's first round was just astonishing.
Yes.
An amazing first round to witness. And it almost sort of, I don't know whether it sort of slightly dented the confidence of a lot of them or what, to see him, you know, looking so much better than everybody else. And
at the ripe old age of 46?
Exactly. It is extraordinary. But, you know, 3 of the last 5 Open champions have been over 40. So you need to be wise and wily if you're going to do well in this thing.
And
Stenson's over 40, too.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. You know, Stenson's 41, Mickelson's 46. We do have some youngsters, but look at Steve Stricker. You know, Steve Stricker is a part-time player,
yeah.
And he's at tied for 6, right? And
yeah.
We do have Bradley's coming on, Finau. It's great to see Finau. Tony Finau spent his summers here on Oahu at Turtle Bay and was sponsored by Turtle Bay. So it's really great to see him doing so well in this Open. I'm just really excited to see all of this.
That's Keegan Bradley you're talking about.
No, Tony Finau. The,
Sorry. I thought you were saying yes, exactly. Yes, he's done really well, hasn't he?
Yes.
So they're very excited by him. Very excited, yeah. But, I think I was just noticing, seeing who's Bradley, Keegan Bradley's on the leaderboard below him, and you know how sort of fidgety he can be, you know, sort of with his swings and everything else before he tees off. Well, I was watching him at the 11th, which has got the railway on the right, and you stand there and you watch him doing his fidgety, and I think, you know, it would stop anybody from hitting a shot there themselves. I think it must put all the spectators off, because you can feel your own nerves rising at the same time.
Riding your own nerves at the same time. I like how you put that. We need to take yes, go ahead.
No, carry on with your commercial break, and I'll come back.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're talking with Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screen.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Take the red carpet elevator 36 stories straight to the sky to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like 3-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye.
truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The Signature, Prime Steak and Seafood.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we're talking with Louine Mayer, Global Golf Post European correspondent. She's at Royal Troon. And Louine, I wanted to ask you about what we're seeing on the telly. On television, we're seeing an absolutely beautiful golf course. It's so green. It's not something we're accustomed to seeing while we're watching an Open. Is it normal for this time of year for the conditions to be so lush?
Well, we've had an awful lot of rain in the UK this year. I mean, it's just been incredible. But, you know, it was a really, really wet winter, and the course is looking absolutely lovely. I think it's, you know, the rough is really tough. But as you can see, the grass is billowing, and it's sort of a nice, not a, a sort of creamy, rosy color. It's absolutely beautiful, but the fairways are lovely and green.
They sure are.
The bunkers are works of art. Each is a little gem. You know, they're absolutely lovely, although I don't suppose the players are admiring them as they play. Because they're vicious, but my God, they're beautifully done.
And tell us, how is that sod built to make the bunker the way they are?
Well, it's all this revetting or whatever they do to them, you know, just building them up with bricks of turf. It's terribly clever. I mean, it's, I did once see them being done at Muirfield, and you know, the greenkeepers, they do such a lovely job, and you know, it's clearly something they enjoy doing well. And there's not, you know, as I say, there's nothing like a beautiful bunker. Who was it that? Oh, I know, it was Brandon Grace who was telling me that's what he loves about an Open. You know, first thing he looks at is the bunkers, not because he wants to go in them at all, but he just thinks that Open bunkers are just, you know, absolutely the best thing in the world in terms, you know, for appearance.
For appearance, absolutely. Jordan Spieth would argue with you after going into the bunker yesterday and coming out of the bunker and watching the ball not quite make it over the little rise before the green, and then the ball just sort of started like going down a drain, started rolling back around and then going down past the bunker, still going in a circle, circling the bunker, and then he was right back in the bunker that he tried to get out of. So it creates some fascinating challenges.
It does. It's like a very nasty game of snakes and ladders. You suddenly find yourself, you know, sort of falling down the board, isn't it? It's horrible, but they certainly look wonderful. I mean, maybe they are too stern, I don't know, but they don't want these courses overcome. There's always the chance that, you know, it's, the weather is perfect all through, and they really don't want these courses torn apart. So I suppose they have to keep the rough long, and they have to make sure the bunkers, you know, are going to penalise people.
Absolutely.
But, Daniel, sorry, I was going to say, you know, we were talking about older golfers. I was going to say, another one who's doing very well, I'm not quite sure how he did today, is Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Oh.
I don't know where you can find him, but he was doing very well, pretty well yesterday. I think he had I think he went 70-71. But I came across him and he was chuckling to himself. And I said, what are you laughing at? And he said, the eighth hole, he said he'd walked along there, you know, each day he looked from the seventh to the eighth hole and thought about how he would play it, and would see people in the bunkers, and he would say, what on earth are they doing? You know, how could they be playing this hole so badly? But then he realized it's the feeling you get on the tee, and it's, as you know, it's only about 120 something yards. It's a tiny little hole. But when you get on the tee, he says the green actually shrinks and it gets smaller and smaller until it's like a little saucer that you're trying to hit. And he said he himself feels physically sick as he's standing up there.
Wow. No, I just found Miguel Angel Jimenez, and he is one under, I think one under today. He's tied for 18. He came up 23 positions after today, shooting 71, 72, 70. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're watching...
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
We're watching, you know, the youth, but it, obviously the having experience really helps you at this type of, on a golf course like this. Having the experience of having played open on a links course, whatever it happens to be, really serves the golfer well. Today, I understand that they did not mow the greens. They kept them slow because of this strong 35-mile-an-hour gust that was expected to come through.
Yes, yes. No, that's right. And, you know, and Jimenez, you know, he's not obviously a links player. He's just sort of a thoroughly good all-round player who's, you know, just played so much and so well for so many years that he knows how to plot his way around a course. But he is actually 51, I think, or 51, but isn't he? And Monty is another one who's survived among the over 50s. So, you know, it's, you know, the young things can't think they're going to sort of chase away from the old fellows, because the old fellows, the experience, I think, on a links course counts for an awful lot.
Yes, it does. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And of course, you can always listen to us, radiogolfclub.com. It's live streaming, and we're also a podcast. So once the show is over, 30 minutes later, the entire show is available for you to listen to on an MP3. We're on TuneIn, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio. So all kinds of opportunities for you to catch the show in its entirety, or sometimes I'll edit a section out and provide that on SoundCloud so you can just listen to a portion of the show at your leisure. All right, so the notes that you're working on, one of them, I was looking at some of the comments from the beginning of practice and what have you. I wonder how that caddy is. The gentleman who got hit on the head by Vijay Singh's practice round shot, Marco Dawson's caddy, Billy Kiplinski. And I think Billy, if I'm not mistaken, is a caddy at Royal Troon. And Marco, this was his first opportunity to play in an Open. So they were in this practice round. Paddy Harrington was there playing with Dawson. And one of Vijay Singh's shots came on. He wasn't on the same hole, of course. He was on the par four somewhere nearby. Aaron's shot, they heard the sound, you know, four, and they had no idea that until poor Mr. Kiplinski got hit straight at the top of the noggin. He went down, and Patrick Harrington stayed with him for 15 minutes with a towel to help stop the bleeding until help got there. And I think that was on the postage stamp hole that they were actually working on. But they weren't on the person, you know, Vijay Singh's ball wasn't coming from there. It was coming from somewhere else. Have you heard how this gentleman's doing?
I haven't heard how the gentleman was doing, although I saw a gentleman sort of out on the course today who'd got a massive lump on his head. And I suspected that could have been the man, but I don't know. We haven't had an official update. You can't very well go up to somebody and say, you know, have you just been hit on the head? I was speaking to Padraig and his caddy about it, and they said it was terrible, and that Vijay Singh was obviously appalled at what had happened and was very, very sorry. You know, he couldn't have been more apologetic, but he had cried four. He'd done everything he should have done, you know, and a lot of them don't cry four, which is, you know, really bad when they don't do that. You know, it's something that needs to happen every time. But I think they got somebody to him pretty quickly, but not quite as quickly as, you know, Harrington and his brother-in-law had hoped.
Well, so, 15 minutes is a long time to wait while somebody's bleeding from the head after being hit by a golf ball comes straight on you. They said the sound was awful, just a terrible sound. I've never experienced that.
No, I'm just telling you that Stenson has, I know we're a bit ahead of you here, he's just pulled a long part of about sort of, I would say it wasn't far short of 10 paces, and he's just been high-fiving people as he walks to the next tee, which, of course, is the 18th tee. And he's now 12 under, and Mickelson is 11 under.
Wow. It's so Stenson is 3 under for the round, and Mickelson is 1 under for the round. They've just got to play steady. They're trading the lead, and it's really exciting. We're going into the final round with these two guys. Pretty much Keegan Bradley is still on the course with Søren Kjeldsen. But as you said earlier, Loween Mayer, Global Golf Post, it really is right now, it's Henrik's or Phil's to lose.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they are 12 under and 11 under, and then you go down to 6 under, 5 under, 4 under, and a few on 3. So unless something dramatic happens tomorrow, it's going to be one of those two.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Okay.
It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure. I just looked at the time, and it's flying by. It's been a pleasure having you on. Loween Mayer, Global Golf Post. I'm looking forward to reading your notes from the Open, and it'll come in my inbox tomorrow or tonight, depending what time, time zone you're in. Aloha. Thank you for being on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Liliha Bakery is Hawaii's best. It's the home of Cocoa Puffs. Get breakfast, lunch, or dinner at both great locations, and breakfast is always available all day. After all, it's a Liliha Bakery tradition. Award-winning hotcakes, omelets beyond compare, and everyone's favorite melt-in-your-mouth butter rolls. Ooh! And at Nimitz, don't forget hearty, fall-off-the-bone tasty oxtail soup and prime rib, too. Bring the whole gang. Get reservations for 20 or more every day. There's ample parking in the entire lot. The holidays are here. Pick up those holiday treats. Come on, get to a Liliha Bakery now.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun.
Dan and Brady
and
from the Irish Washerwoman take strokes off your golf game. Why spend your precious free time cleaning when you can be out on the course? Your wife cleans, you say? Well, what better way to make her more agreeable to that Sunday round than freeing her from strenuous household duties by hiring Oahu's premium, reliable, and diligent house cleaners? Contact us now at 808-633-6327 or theirishwasherwoman.com.
Four!
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Golf Week publisher, senior writer, Golf Week, Alex Maselli. I thought you'd given up on me. Thank you for being here.
Danny, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? This is the most exciting Open I've seen in a long time. The Saturday is usually kind of, Sunday gets exciting. This is like a Sunday.
Well, I don't know about that, only because it's two guys who really separated themselves. So, I mean, it's going to be, I don't want to say match play going into a final round of a major championship, but it's certainly feeling that way.
It feels like a match play, a Ryder Cup preview. It feels like a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just thoroughly enjoying this. I'm just thrilled. All morning long, I've been watching television. It's hard to do the show. So where are you?
You know, what's interesting is how good, I'm sitting in the media center. What's good about this is that the two guys that are at the top have played really, really well. I mean, they're going to have a couple of loose shots out here, because if you were here, you would realize not only the wind, but the drizzle and then the cold. And I mean, the combination of three really changes the dynamics of how you play this golf course. It just shows how good they're playing, even though you can't see it completely or feel it completely. They're definitely playing very good golf today.
I'm glad you mentioned the cold. Somebody said it wasn't even 60. It's been like in the upper 50s all day with the wind and the rain.
Right, and it's overcast. So there's no, the ball isn't going anywhere comparatively to where it would go if you were having a nice day like it was on Friday with very little wind and sunshine. You know, the ball was going places, no problem. You could play this golf course relatively easily, as you saw from the scores. But then all of a sudden, you know, things change. The weather changes, and then everything changes. And cold, if you talk to a player, they will tell you that. They're going off early in the morning, like on the PGA Tour, when there's still some dew out there and so forth and so on. They usually have to factor in either one or two clubs different than if they were playing in the middle of the day with the same distance.
Is that the humidity in the air that holds the ball back?
No, it's just the ball doesn't compress as much, and because of that, it just doesn't go anywhere.
I'm just wondering what causes that. What is it? Is it the heat? It's fascinating to talk about all the issues that come to play in this sport of golf.
Well, I mean, it's an outdoor sport, so you're going to have a lot of variables that occur. I mean, Phil Mickelson's in the right first cut of rough. I mean, he's going to have to control certain kinds of spin. He's going to have more water around his ball because there's more grass. He's not going to get as clean of a hit as Henrik Stenson is, who's sitting in the fairway. I mean, those are all things that you have to figure out. Now you got to figure out, you know, do I land it shorter because it's going to release, or maybe it doesn't release. You know, there's all those things, and then of course, when you add in the things we just talked about, the cold and any breeze that's in your face. So there's a lot of factors. And over every shot that a player has to think about.
And these guys have not been bothered by the lack of mowing of the greens overnight. They, I understand, kept them short, not mown, rather, because of a potential strong wind that was coming in.
Right, not mowed and not rolled. And unlike the USGA, who goes is on the edge every day at a major championship, the RNA he's always the first and is cautious. And that's why there was no stoppage of play here. That's why there are no issues. And that's why the players are going ahead and being able to play this golf course.
That is isn't that a challenge in and of itself, to make it so that the greens aren't necessarily rolling fast? I mean, sometimes they may be drier. Sometimes they may be slower. So you have to make adjustments.
Well, but like in real estate, Daniel, every piece of real estate is different. So you got 18 greens out here, and every one of them is different in some way, shape, or form. You try to make them uniform if you can and consistent, but there's really no exact way to do that. Uphill, downhill, side hill, areas that are more windy than others. So there's a lot of things that go into it. That's why this game is so great, because you're always thinking. You're always trying to figure it out.
Have you played Royal Troon?
You know, it's been a long time, and I actually liked playing it. I thought it's a good golf course, which I still think it's a really good golf course. And it's shocking that it's taken us so long to come back, 12 years, from when Ernie and Todd Hamilton were in that playoff. But it is a really, really good golf course, and one that I think these guys like. It's got challenges, but I think it's certainly a fair test.
Well, Miguel Angel Jimenez said about these postage stamp hole, that little tiny, tiny par 3, which you wouldn't think, because it's so short, that it caused any problem to any professional golfer. He said it's actually terrifying because the green seems to shrink when you're on the tee. And I thought, that's interesting. Just, then you have the optics to deal with.
Well, again, I mean, perception in golf is always interesting, and McKenzie courses are always so great because, you know, he's always trying to make you think one thing versus what is reality, and that's what great golf courses are about, and this is certainly one of those type of golf courses. And that hole, you're right. I mean, there's a reason why it's called a postage stamp. It's certainly not called, you know, basketball court or something like that. I mean, it's a small area, and inside that small area, it even gets smaller, the areas that you have to hit to.
Yes. So you're in the media center. You've got, of course, the screen on, and we're watching Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. They've been trading the lead all day long, and now we're at the 18th, and it's like a playoff. They're just who's doing best right now on 18?
Well, Mickelson's in the front bunker, not a hard bunker shot, and Stenson missed the green left. The one thing I will say is Stenson is not showing himself to be a great chipper of the golf ball today, and we'll see what happens with this chip, which is a bit downhill, but Mickelson is a very good stand player, and I would suggest that he's going to get up and down at the very least, and then we'll see what happens with Stenson. But if Stenson goes into Sunday with a one-shot lead, it's effectively, you know, they're effectively even. And it'll be quite interesting to see what happens because, you know, Stenson is a younger. Phil Mickelson is certainly older. Playing 72 holes, Phil Mickelson has struggled to find a way to get 72 holes in effectively in the last. I mean, he hasn't won since he won the Open Championship back in Muirfield. So that's 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, Henrik Stenson won just recently in Germany. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the age difference and the amount of success you have had over recent memory. But that being said, Phil Mickelson, when he's got the bit in his teeth, you usually see him find a way to get it done.
Alex Maselli, Golf Week publisher and senior golf writer for Golf Week. Are you off to the Olympics next? Where do you go next?
Go home, then I go to the PGA Championship, and then I get home from the PGA Championship, and about 4 days later, I'm on a plane to Rio.
It's amazing what you do. It's absolutely amazing what you do. And, you know, I'd like to catch up with you. I feel like I'm in a time crunch right now, and I want to talk to you more, but I can't. So I want to make a date with you if I can, from the PGA or from the Olympics, whichever works for you, so we can catch up proper.
That's fine, Daniel. Just send me a note and we'll figure it out.
Thank you very much for being so patient today, and thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate your time. Alex Maselli, Golf Week publisher, senior golf writer for Golf Week, and of course, he is the host of the Grill Room Golf Show on TuneIn and on Talk Sport. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Take the red carpet elevator, 36 stories straight to the sky, to the signature prime steak and seafood atop the Ala Moana Hotel. Kama'aina specials nightly, like three-course meal with salad, entree of miso butterfish or 16-ounce prime ribeye, truffle mashed potatoes, and dessert, all for only $56.95. Live pianist and happy hour nightly with bar food discounts to half off. And there are three rooms for private parties for 8 to 45 guests. For reservations, call 949-3636. The Signature, Prime Steak and Seafood.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Waipu Bay on Hawaii's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Roger McStravick is golf historian. He specializes in St. Andrews. He's author of St. Andrews, The Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. It comes in two editions. One is leather-bound, the 79 edition. There's also the 1821 edition and the collector's edition. You can find all of this at thegolfbookshop.com. TheGolfBookShop.com. He's been commissioned to write many books, a book on golf art, an accessible history of the game. He is the winner of the USJ Herbert Warren Wind Book Award, the winner of the British Golf Collectors Society Murdoch Medal 2016, shortlisted on Cross Sports Book of the Year for 2016, and People's Golf Prize nominee. I'm happy to introduce you to Roger McStravick. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thanks, Danielle. Nice to speak to you.
Nice to talk with you. You know, a lot of the work that you're doing, from what I understand, is collecting the history, of course, of St. Andrews and Old Tom Morris and all the people who were involved, and bringing together legends from the 1800s to 1920. But what got you into, you know, doing a history book about St. Andrews and Old Tom Morris?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wanted to the more I studied, the more I realized that the history of St. Andrews, it's hidden. You know, you have the golf course, but, you know, almost in every street in St. Andrews, there has been a famous golfer, an Open champion. And, you know, one quick example was at the end of North Street, the poorest part of St. Andrews, Tom Morris was born and brought up, and he won 4 Open championships. His son won 4 Open championships. The guy who lived 2 doors from him, his son won 3 Open championships. The guy opposite them, Jock Hutchison, was the first American to win the Open championship. He also won a PGA and was the official starter of the Masters for years. And his next-door neighbor won the amateur championship. So you know, the more I studied, the more I thought, well, you know, I really want to bring this to life. So that was the idea behind the book.
So it's in addition to being a fabulous work of art from a history point of view, there is an amazing collection of images, and the way the printing's been done, those images just pop off the pages, and you feel like you're there. And I've got to tell you, Roger, there's a founding fathers. You know, in the United States, we have all these pictures of the founding fathers getting together, and they're writing
Absolutely.
The Constitution, or they're doing all these things. They're sitting together in pubs, and they're looking very, you know, serious about what... There's in some of the images I've seen... during this period of time in St. Andrews, do you think these guys knew that they were doing something important? Because you write about how they changed the future of St. Andrews at a crux point in its history.
Absolutely. I think they had really good ambitions for St. Andrews. I think the key person to that was a man called Hugh Lionflecker, and he came back to St. Andrews and around the 1830s, you know, the early 1830s, 1831, 32. And what he came back to was a rundown town, you know, where the streets are covered in grass and sheep and whatnot. And he effectively said, you know, this place could be special, you know. And he spent the next 30 years cleaning up the town, you know, protecting the links, you know, because the first hole on the old course, you know, at its narrowest point was about 80 yards wide. You know, and you think of it now, and 150 or so, or 200 yards, you know, it's massive, massive expanse. But in their day, the beach came all the way up, and they were worried that they might actually lose the golf course. So what he did, he sort of killed two birds with one stone. He got carters to take all the rubbish from the town, take it down to the beach and dump it on the beach, and then they covered that and flattened it out, and that's what we play on. That's the first hole today.
Wow.
So absolutely, and it just and his ambition was sort of the metropolis of golf, what they called it, you know. So we'll have a place where the gentrified classes could come, and they would have beautiful accommodation to stay in, and they would have a fantastic golf course, and the links to the town would be second to none, you know. So it really was designed to be the home of golf, and the formula they went for is exactly the formula we have today. You know, have a great golf course, but we also have the lovely hotel, you know, restaurants and bars, etc. So it's sort of, you know, fit for purpose, really. It's, you know, designed to be such.
A visionary. He was a visionary. He came in, he looked, he said, hey, we can do something special, and it's going to last for hundreds of years. Old Tom Moore shot a record 79 on the St. Andrews Links, a record that stood for a long time, right? So I was wondering, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, he did shoot 79. His business partner, Alan Robertson, shot the first 79 in 1858, you know, a year before he died. But Alan and Tom worked together when they were teenagers. You know, Alan's father died when he was 19. Alan needed an apprentice, and Tom was sort of 14, 15. And they worked all that time together. And the growth of the game, you know, is connected to the growth of the change of the equipment. So when the gutty ball was invented in 1848, that was a much cheaper ball than the leather feathery ball. So so the expansion of, I think Tom Morris is an absolute a hero in golf, and rightly so, you know, best golfer of his era. Won the Open four times. The oldest person to win the Open, and also the largest margin of victory. You know, but they just lived at sort of the right place at the right time. The game was expanding, it was becoming more accessible. And just at that time, the heroes of the game, the best in the game, just happened to be Alan Robertson and Tom Moore.
Roger McStravick, we need to speak again with more time devoted to this, because I love your book, St. Andrews and the Footsteps of Old Tom Morris. It's available at thegolfbooksshop.com. Go check this out. Absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for being patient and for being on the show today. I need to thank the people who make this show possible. Introducing our sponsor, Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, Golf Channel lead coach, featured on Morning Drive and Golf Channel Academy Live. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. He's at Ko'olina. Liliha Bakery, my favorite, always perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Liliha Bakery, so relaxed. At the counter or at a table, it's comfortable. I always feel at home with friends and great food and a delight from the bakery, like old times at Liliha Bakery. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building or your company, your home project, into artwork. Futura Stone, they have the pavers, and you can put this mesh between the pavers, which is like your driveway or your runway. They've made runways with pavers. You put that mesh between the paver and the ground, and none of the stuff that comes off a car gets into the groundwater. Futura Stone. Only the best. Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. The Signature Steak and Seafood Restaurant. Beautiful, juicy steak. I love the furikake ahi, the excellent wines. the signature vodka cocktail, and this new Fuji apple pie that is absolutely excellent. I try it a la mode. Irish washerwoman, personalized house and condo cleaning that makes you go, wow, every time you walk into a room cleaned by the Irish washerwoman. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.